In the history of television, it's never been so funny, so dramatic, so totally
mind-blowing.
Wow, 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 wow.
Sunday, television's greatest night is the biggest live event of the year.
One, two, three.
Watch the best of the best face off.
And the Emmy goes to...
Jimmy Kimmel hosts the Emmys.
If you don't watch, we're not friends anymore.
Live Sunday, 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific on ABC.
Hello, Suits fans, and thank you for joining us here at AfterBuzz TV for the Suits After Show. This is the summer finale. Mike is already out of prison, but will Leonard Bailey live, and will Jessica stay? All of that is here. All of that is next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Here we go.
Hey.
Start out slow. A little bit.
Oh. Where you at?
You're just,
this one, I get serious.
You're just...
How it feels. I'm showing off a little
you're
bit.
You're just showing off is what you're doing. You know you're with...
Hey.
You know you're with two
He's
dudes.
He's got it, though. I got to represent for Tiana and Nicole, you know.
Okay.
Hey.
Maybe we should do the show.
Yeah, we should.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us here at the AfterBuzz TV Suits After Show. This is Season 6, Episode 10, PSL. That is not Pumpkin Spice Latte. I'm pretty sure that is Pearson Spector Lit. Thank you for joining us here at the law firm of Kaufman, Brazier, Hobson, and Ike.
Yes.
We are only being joined with Ike.
Hello, folks. Such an amazing mid-season finale. You guys can check me out on Twitter and Instagram at OneTakeStace. And to my left...
To my left, I pulled him up out of the bullpen. He's now our senior associate. You can find him on Logo's Gay Skit Happens. He's Mr. Bill Posley.
Hey, guys. How you doing tonight?
Nice. Where can they find you on the Twitter?
It'll probably be everything Bill Posley. At Bill Posley, hashtag Bill Posley, just Bill Posley.
Right.
It's POSLEY for all of the things that I'm, you know, not doing.
When you're on them.
Right. I'm on them. Yeah.
In fact, on them.
Right.
Speaking of being on it, this episode. How excited were we about this episode? Because, Stacey, I don't want to speak for you, but I feel like you were a little down on parts of this season. Are you back?
Yes, I think you can actually say the truth. I mean, I had a couple episodes where I was like, I don't know where we're going. I didn't know how long Mike was going to be in prison. I don't know. I was a little over... I think it was, I don't know if it was the Sutter case or what it was. The Leonard Bailey case kept me intrigued, but something about the roommate and the mixture and the prison clothes, I was like, I'm over this. I don't know. So I was a little, you know, I was a little on edge. But this season, this finale, I mean, I literally had to keep my lashes on. I was crying so much. It was amazing.
We were there. It's on Periscope
now. Okay, there's evidence, but amazing, amazing. Just what I wanted. Oh, so good.
And your first thoughts on the episode?
Yeah, I think, I think that what ended up happening with the season as a whole is that one of the things I got, or at least grew tired of, was the Kevin roommate always like, how many times can somebody screw you over before you just continue to threaten that they're gonna you're never gonna talk to them again?
Yeah.
And then it always ends up coming back that he is, and like, so like, you know, there was definitely some monotony in that, but like a good neighbor, Suits always delivers. And so they did at the end of the episode. I remember just sitting there thinking like, how invested in how powerful Suits can make every little moment, especially in this finale, to so much where like I was just as upset and angry that some guys were correctly breaking their lease. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was just as mad about that as I was about the big news at the end. And like, that's how crazy they make you feel.
Yeah. They're well-developed characters. Yeah. I was actually having a conversation with someone else here in the hallway about a show like Burn Notice, that there's a mystique to the show. Like, you're trying to find out why that character got burned. So once you find out why that character got burned, that should be the end of the show. Spoilers, Burn Notice went two more seasons after we find out how Michael Weston got burned, and they weren't great. And I had my worries about this show heading into season six.
Right.
Because that's the whole mystique of this show. What happens when Mike gets found out? Does he go to prison? If he gets out of prison, does he become a consultant?
Right.
Like, is that as interesting as anything else? And I think they proved to us that in these 10 weeks it can be.
Yeah, and I think, oh, such a beautiful point, because we definitely had our reservations, and we've kind of brought it up a couple times throughout reviewing the show, that once that came out, like, literally, what do you do? What do we talk about? What's so interesting? So it's crazy how attached I was to Stu, who I really did not care about. And when he came, like, why did he have so many lines?
Well,
I don't care.
It was because we care about Lewis.
But now we care and so much.
Stu at that time was just dumping on, exactly. Like, that was a matter of just dumping on exactly. Lewis, because he had to deal with three different things this episode. Mm. And he didn't deal rationally with the other two, because the one thing wasn't rational, and
right.
it's love.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that love relationship escalated really quickly. I will say that I really wanted more of the... I think, and it is what it is, but it was just like... It didn't really feel like it was much of a decision for her to get rid of a three-year relationship. I wanted to see, like, a little more push and pull of what that meant, and, like, what like Lewis having to fight for her a little bit more. I really think that that could have been and maybe it'll come back.
I also feel like we got a certain admission from her that this wasn't that serious, and it hasn't been that serious for quite some time.
For a while.
And that Lewis seems for real.
I mean, that's fine, but I actually agree, I totally agree with you in terms of the push and pull, because, you know... when I saw him walk in her office, I said, he's going to propose, right? And I looked at you, and you kind of act like you didn't see me. I saw you seeing me. And yes, I want Lewis to have love, but do I want it to be something like a little bit? I mean, his last relationship was so passionate, and we got to see so many steps in that relationship. And I just feel like with this one, I don't even know Tara, truly. I don't.
He doesn't either. And I think that's
weird.
Part of the fun. But we're all a little concerned for Lewis.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I think, like, you know, there's that moment where he comes back in and, you know, he's got the shower and she's like, oh, he's going to be here in the next 2 days. Or he's coming in tomorrow for 2 days. Mm. And he's like, but, I mean, you're going to break up with him. Like, if she had just said, no, we talked about, like, what this is. Mm. I would love to have seen what that looked like.
Why do I have to live with you and your insecurities into all the heaviness that is?
Right.
And instead, she was like, I don't know yet. And it was like, oh, but, like, I really wanted to see, like, that, you know, Lewis didn't have to go deal with that and then maybe come. And, like, eventually, you know, she does make that turn. It, you know, I feel like their relationship was... built in a mid-season arc when I really felt like it could have been a full season arc.
Absolutely.
Although, let's be fair, they put them in such an interesting place that we have a rest of the series arc of them being engaged and then married and then
her
having a baby daddy but him supporting it, and like
it's gonna be so messy, but
that's love is messy.
I love
the statement he's making there.
I also feel
with
like
all of these relationships,
I feel like one of the things that felt really weird about this season is how detached Lewis was from everything. If he felt
like stuff.
Yeah, like just like you know, it's always, you know, there's always, it's always nice to have him meddle, and from time to time he does, and like, you know, all this stuff, but it definitely felt like, I mean, he's definitely my favorite character, and everybody, you know, a lot of people's favorite character because he's the, you know, he's the best, and he comes with the most like heart and genuine, but it was really weird to see him not as engaged in all of the goings on
moment when he should have been, and Donna brought this up, and for Lewis's end of none of you, like, at the time when all of you needed to be focused on this firm, none of you were focused on this firm.
Yeah.
Like, it was like Griffin and Donna were the only ones focused on that firm.
I think Donna breaking it down for us really helped me understand what you just said. Because there were definitely moments throughout the season that Harvey would bust into Lewis' office and be like, we're doing this. And I'd be like, how do you expect him to catch up? Like, you've been doing that for a couple of episodes now. Like, even today, he was like, next time you make a meeting, let me know. I'm like... you guys don't tell him, like, everything, but I think Donna's saying, like, the truth is, we've all been doing something completely different, and so sorry to cut you off, but I just, when she said that, I was like, wow, I didn't realize how much other things was happening, because in my head, they were all still doing stuff, so it's like, oh, it's fine, but really, it had nothing to do with Pearson's Spector Lit, so.
I'm very interested in, like, the writers tipping their cap a little bit, where it's like, hey, at the beginning of the season, we said we'd all work really hard, none of us did, but we still have a great firm. It's just like, oh, yeah, was anyone doing anything?
Like I said, Gretchen and Donna were probably holding that whole place down.
Seriously.
Because everybody else was off doing their own stuff.
How funny.
Well, and to be fair, Jessica early in the season was, like, being a bit of a rainmaker.
Of course.
And bringing in clients.
Yeah.
And then bringing in a client just to bring in another client, and then like trying to hustle one client and then flip everything. And like,
they still were working it out. But they
she was doing her Jessica stuff. To bring it back to Jessica, because we started with her flashback.
I'm getting emotional.
I'll try to keep it together, but we finally got to know something about Jessica, which we haven't. Like, has she ever mentioned that her father was a doctor? That it was
no.
I actually don't necessarily know if she mentioned that her father was a doctor, but I mean, in specific. I'm gonna take a risk and say that I think she had, because she has spoke with Rachel on numerous accounts and in the way that Rachel deals with
her dad.
Robert, Mr. Zane, and the way that she deals with the dynamics of that are similar to, or at least Jessica's alluded to them being similar to the dynamics between her and her father. So much so that I actually think she said, you know, my dad wanted me to go
into medicine. Doing
the same thing that he did.
That was likely said.
Yeah, that was likely. That was likely, you know.
It was likely. That was
chartered territory.
Was it likely said and likely brisked over? Because I totally was looking at this scene like, oh my gosh, now I get to meet her family.
And
like,
Christina's journey in the chat backs you up. Yes, she mentioned it to Rachel.
Oh,
yeah,
so,
yeah, that's
okay,
it.
Cool. We
come on now.
Yeah.
But yeah, but those two have bonded over, you know, talks of their father, of at least of, you know, paternal.
But we get to see Rocky relationship. Dad's never home.
Yeah.
She's dealing with a lot of that. Throughout the course of the episode, she deals with all the stuff we're going to talk about.
Mm.
But at the end of this episode, the ship war wins. And it's her and Jeff Malone. And they literally ship off to Chicago.
I love
that. She walks away from the firm and walks off with Jeff Malone.
Beautiful black man. That's the way you leave.
I literally love
that's the way you leave, man.
That scene,
also a pilot on ABC. Both things. You need both things. A beautiful black man and then a pilot on ABC. That's how you walk off of a USA show.
It's so good. I think that was so beautiful. I love that Tiana... She kind of spoiled it for us a couple episodes, saying,
yep.
not spoiled it, but teased it, that he would be coming back because she did get to speak to him at another premiere. So that was so awesome because we felt it and we kind of predicted it, but in what way?
Uh-huh.
I was thinking it was just going to be for closure and just her feeling like, okay, horrible.
I thought we kind of got it. I think it was 2 weeks ago when he showed up.
Yeah.
It might have been last week where he was like, because you saw her in court. It was last week. And it was literally, I think that's
enough.
That felt realistic. If Jessica stays Jessica,
she didn't,
so she gets to walk off with him.
I loved it. I think getting to know her personal life a little bit and seeing, like, finally understanding those conversations with Rachel and what her dad. I don't like her dad, by the way.
Well,
but anyway, I mean, not that I don't like him. He was doing what he wanted, you know, had to do to protect his daughter. But I think in some cases it's like some of those things really did happen, and that's what's scary, because the dad was like, hey, this is what's gonna happen to you if you become a lawyer, and then kind of did. I don't know. At least she identified with the fact that that happened.
Or she identified with the fact that corporate law
will do
that to you. That I think she got to prove to herself that that's not who she became.
Yeah.
And I think part of her realized, you know what?
But I'm close.
I was this person up until this case.
Right.
And up until this crisis. And I was like, I can just walk away.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard because, like, she's become one of my favorite you know, characters on TV.
Seriously.
Just such a strong character, and like best walk off lines, just such a strong presence, like just such a wonderful,
just
everything.
Gina, man,
and
give me life.
To give some special props to Gina Torres for playing this role.
God.
She has to play a character who I would say a good 60% of this show, she has to walk in, meddle,
drop
or just
a mic,
kind of drop a mic, and we talk about it a lot here. Where we have to assume, because of the way the firm is, and the firm was up until this season one of the biggest in the city, that the realization would be, oh, so she walks in and be like, no, you're not doing that.
Right.
And then she leaves, and you have to assume like she's also there till 9 o'clock at night,
right,
working on some stuff that keeps the whole place afloat. It's just not as interesting as whatever Mike and Harvey are working on.
Right. Gosh.
Yeah. And, you know, I also wanted to give the shout out to her for, like, at least in her character and stuff like that. And I love, like, when they, you know, when they start including her a little bit in, like, the movie game stuff, and she has her own quotes, and she has her own acknowledgement of those things, and, like, I think that she felt... You know, it's interesting because... Not that she was ever one-dimensional, because she definitely had her moments of heart, especially surrounding Mike and you know, Rachel yeah. and Lewis. You could see in Harvey, but she definitely in this episode, you were like, oh, it was almost like we injected a level of humanity into mm-hmm. her that we hadn't necessarily not seen, but yeah, it had never won over and yeah, won over
it,
her.
We knew that
you know?
It was always there, but yeah. we never
saw it
until this case where she literally exonerates a man.
That was,
helps exonerate a man.
And even like the levels to that, I appreciate that word humanity, because the extent she went to, you know, to exonerate Leonard and the conversation she had on behalf of him, the way she was willing to go after another lawyer and the way she was willing to, I mean, totally ruin herself in that moment because mm-hmm. that could have went so differently or could have gone so differently. So that was a scary moment for me because I'm like, is she going to really do this cross-examination? Like, especially, you know, I was telling you while I was watching, I was a little pissed that Mike felt like he could interject now. And I'm like, you just got out of prison. Like, this morning. I need you not to say too much right now. You know, telling her how to handle things. I was just not ready for that. But at the end of the day, it worked out so beautifully. And I think just getting to know her a little bit, just the whole episode was like, Jessica's as bomb as we always thought. Yay! Like, yes, that's like what I got.
And you'll probably not see her as a series regular. We'll still see her. Also, Jazz 4117 in the chat. Steven Tiana predicted it along with Mike being offered the consultant job.
Yeah.
Just pointing that out.
Yeah, sure. You guys did.
Also, someone else on Twitter pointed something out really cool to me, which is in the state of California, you do not have to have gone to law school to take the bar exam. Meaning, if Suits wanted to go to Los Angeles with Mike doing it legit, they could. All I'm saying
Very
is I know some offices that you can shoot in for pretty cheap. You can DM me on the Twitter. You get
right.
it.
We got your back.
Yeah, so, and with Jessica being out, not that she wasn't adverse to Mike, but now he has, if he comes back as a consultant, he has free reign, and like there's less that, you know, it will feel like...
Do you want him to come back?
Well, as a consultant?
Yeah.
I almost... All right, so here's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say yes, because... He's felt so estranged from the entire group that, like, I think whether it works or it doesn't work, like, maybe that's part of the testing ground for it, is that, like, he does come back and it doesn't feel right, or he does come back and, like, there's some, animosity or some story and doesn't fit in. And he tries to do things and, like, hey, man, you're not a lawyer. Remember that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can't do these things. But I do feel like we do need to see him back amongst these characters again and moving around and living in those bones.
And the reason I bring up again him taking the bar, which he legally can't do in the state of New York without going to law school, is that I would not be surprised if Mike, and this is bordering on prediction, so I'll stop after this, I would not be shocked if Mike declined it for a chance to go legit somehow, whether he goes back to law school. We're not ready.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like he wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Or I feel like he wouldn't necessarily take the deal unless it was to help Harvey, which now it looks like it might be to help Harvey.
I think he's gonna do it for a minute.
Yeah.
And then we'll have, like, a... You know, like, yeah, like okay, my heart's not... There's always, like, I mean, the amount of things that he's tried and his heart's not into, it's, like, almost like a part of his character to go down the road, and he can't sell his soul, it's not true to what he is, and then come back. I mean, we've seen a million times.
He's going to just invest in Bitcoins. He's just going to start a web show to talk about Bitcoins.
I don't know why I'm not convinced that that's going to work, because, like, even though I'm seeing what you're saying, he definitely needs to be among the characters... But it's just like, why did you even go to prison then? Like, in my head, it's kind of like, why? Like,
because he had to.
I know why. But, I'm just saying, like, we had to watch that, and we had to understand that, and we had to be there for it and support it and get to this point where we're at the midseason finale and be like, okay, he's out. For him to go right back to his stomping ground, it seems too easy, because that's not what happens when you get out of prison.
He was also, I mean, you should be rehabilitated, but, like, he was there for, like, a month, right?
I mean, he was barely, like, you're very right. Also,
because my partner doesn't watch the show, and she came in and was like, She only came in during the, like, him exiting jail thing, and it was this big buildup. She's like, "Oh my god, how long was he in there?" And I was like, I don't know, like 45 days? Like maybe like
8 TV weeks?
Yeah, like 8 episodes. I don't, like, not a lot, actually. Right. Yeah, yeah. And it wasn't until she said that to me that I was like, oh, yeah.
It wasn't in that long.
It wasn't really even in that bad.
Like, he didn't, so I guess, but...
He had a phone, like, half the time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, he saw Harvey every day. I mean, that's not... He just had such a different experience, so it's like... It's interesting because I guess now that we're
he got out that, for like a night and had sex, like it was like really like he has really not much like rehabilitation
to,
like,
to actually go through.
Yeah.
I hope we see his counselor again. Just
I feel like we would
Malcolm.
I feel like he'd be working
Malcolm
with.
Jamal.
No, yeah, I love Malcolm Jamal.
Yeah, he's amazing.
I feel like he'd be working with more Danbury people. Like I could see him as a consultant. Through Spectre Lit.
Just a random combo.
I think that would be part of it.
I think they keep the Pearson, by the way.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I also think that if we're talking about like this show as a grand scope, back to one for this show would be to hire Mike as a consultant. Mm-hmm. And then they just start tackling the case of the week and then the case of
they
the
They start going
the
a little
case.
Bit
how
more
does
procedural
it, how
with
does
it.
It
they
look,
go back
though,
to, because
guys,
they kind of
like,
go back to procedural. But then there's not a looming season-long who's going to find out.
But this is what I'm saying. Like, all over the old clients, everyone who left you, who's like, okay, we're trying to trust you again. Or even if they don't care about you, how does it look if you just bring him right back? It doesn't look kind of stupid? Like,
yeah, yeah,
he brought you right back. Like, it doesn't even matter.
I said this on Twitter, because, like, the second thing that happened in this episode was Harvey offers Mike pretty much a consultant job at the exact same salary as a senior partner. And in my first thought was like, that's stupid. And then I went, so was hiring Mike in the first place.
Yeah, true.
So was throwing a case to get him out of prison. So, yeah, you're in deep now. Give him,
well, I also
make
think,
him a consultant.
I think there's also like this, like, well, one of the things that I think Mike's character will start to be more, what will be more indicative of his character is taking on some of the... So you remove Jessica from it, right? Mm-hmm. And now she's pretty much the ref kind of final verdict or that third person between the Lewis and Harvey mm-hmm. dynamic. And so now, who is there?
Is Mike the
right.
person?
No, it's not necessarily that he is that. So if Jessica's like, no, do it this way. I think, you know, Mike's way of handling is that, hey, think about how he feels. Think about how he feels. But I think what
and
you're going
you
to need is, like, with her
decider.
With her removed, there's going to be this, like, I think now there's this power struggle between these two guys. And so, like, I think Mike's character can also take some of the onus of that.
That's interesting. Okay, I can see that. He definitely knows how to handle both of them creepily well.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Do we want to jump back towards the Lewis, Jessica, Harvey, Stu people... People realistically reacting to what Harvey did for the past 8 weeks, 9 weeks to get Mike out of prison.
It's so wrong. But
which is just throw
right.
a case for... But once again, the show is so good. Like, all of these people are correct in thinking, yeah, I don't want that guy to be my lawyer.
They really are.
But
they
we're
really
on that.
Are.
But we're on their side. Where we're like, no, but you don't understand.
But you don't know what happened exactly. It's horrible.
But Mike's a good lawyer, and then that guy was terrible, and then he got his roommate out, and then it was a whole thing.
It's still super wrong. Like when Jessica said, "Go shut that guy up," and I'm looking at her like, "Girl, he's like telling the truth, though." I mean, I get it, but I'm so used to defending anything that Pearson and Spectre lit, anything they do. That sometimes I don't have those realistic moments where it's like, look at the characters they're affecting, you know, whatever. So I think this was one of those days I was like, I mean, Sutter sucks, sure, but like, you absolutely threw my case. That's insane.
If anyone actually could prove it,
that's insane.
He'd be disbarred.
Oh, yeah. So it was just like, wow, they get away with so much. Like, it was kind of those reminders.
But they get away with so much with us, and that's what I love.
Yeah, we're...
I think when you go into a season six, you have to... I think the true test of a good character is whether or not they can test how you feel about them, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, I think that there's, in any of the characters that I've come to know and love, and I know that, you know, we're talking in this thing, like, by the time, if this is written well, Lewis should be able to kill somebody. and I be like, yeah, I don't care.
Oh my god.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I don't care.
Because, that's a good example because Lewis is so, like, one of the most loved characters
on
the show.
And like, I should almost be like, Lewis could kill somebody, and I would be like, but you guys don't know him. Like,
yeah,
I know
exactly.
him.
Exactly. That's so good.
But, like,
wow.
that guy was a terrible person.
Yeah.
And there was no other way around.
But killing him.
That guy knew that Mike was a fake lawyer.
Yeah, yeah.
And Lewis had to protect the whole firm.
That was just to protect the whole firm. Oh,
and
yeah.
Mike will do greater good.
Right.
And Lewis will be a better person because Mike's in his life.
So funny.
I like that Stu's in everyone's life. We need more Stu.
I liked Stu this episode. Yes,
is there a Donna Stu thing?
No.
There was a Jessa Stu thing here for a minute.
Oh.
Well, I've instated a 3-episode ship rule where we can't ship characters, relationship characters off until it's been 3 episodes. And I waited exactly 3 episodes to utter the words Jessa Stu on this panel.
Thank God that's wrapped up. Anyway, thank
well,
God.
Well, that's
Jessa
pretty clear that, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty clear it's not that.
I just love Stu. I mean, obviously, I think that it goes without saying the scene where he just kind of dominates and comes back really. I just appreciate that he said, if I can help you in another way, I will. And I was like, maybe he actually will. I just didn't know how it was going to play out. I love that.
And I love how that could have been. We could have just as easily never seen Stu again,
exactly.
and then they would have had to figure it out themselves.
Yeah.
But it was a genuine, like, no, we've been through it together. I've learned to respect you.
Yep.
Instead of just being this quirky dude, like, I've learned to love you like your audience has.
I love that.
He's I'm like, sure that's not how he thinks, because that would be weird.
Yeah, but still.
But it's I've learned to love you if there's literally anything I can do. And it's like, wait, you're a money guy.
Do this.
You're a money guy. You can literally help me in this.
Yeah.
Without getting Jessica out of court.
So
that
weird.
Said... Jessica, like, got
could have probably made that meeting. It was
that's
so fast.
What I was thinking.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. It was just like, oh. She was like, look, I'm going to be here, and I'm not going to let this man. It's been, 3 minutes. Jessica, just drive over.
Get in at her.
Drive over. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was exonerated. I was like, girl, you can go. And then all of a sudden, she was back in her office. I'm like, okay,
she was,
you
like,
really
talking
did
to
not
people,
care
like,
about the meeting.
Obviously, like, hug Leonard Bailey, like, have that moment in
yeah,
the courtroom.
And then you're out.
But, like, you could run.
Yeah.
And, like, there was that moment with her and Leonard Bailey, and we'll get to the case next. But, like, I genuinely thought Leonard Bailey was like, thank you so much. But, girl, run to that Uber.
But I also think that in that moment, she also decided that's when she was going to give it up. I feel like
that's fair.
I feel
that
like,
she looked in the
yes,
eyes of...
absolutely. I feel like when he won, she was like, okay, I think... Because even saying no to Rachel, I mean, to Robert, like, not that it was a bad move or a good move. I just think it was a boss move. Mm. But I could tell in that moment, I'm like, she is thinking about... I don't know. I had no idea it was leaving.
Mm.
But it was definitely... You could see her, like, I don't know, slowly but surely pulling away.
Mm.
And I thought that was cool. So maybe that's why she was like,
and they,
I'm
they
not
gave
going.
Her, they gave her that arc this entire
yeah.
episode with the 2 very well-timed flashbacks. Mm-hmm. You hit us right up top, and you hit us right before.
Right before she whammered on y'all.
Mm-hmm.
It was fire.
And
it was so good.
So Pearson Spector Lit is saved. Before I get into that, are you guys ready for this Sunday?
What's...
This yes. Sunday on ABC.
Oh, the Emmys!
The Emmys are this Sunday on NBC. In the history of television, it's never been so funny, so dramatic, or so good. Think about all the shows that are on this season. There's House of Cards, Modern Family, Downton Abbey, Game of Thrones, what else? Blackish, Homeland, Better Call Saul, love that show, Veep, Transparent, Silicon Valley, Mr. Robot, I cover that show here at AfterBuzz TV, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, I mean... we're in television's golden age.
We are. It's good.
And
yeah,
on Sunday, September 18th, television's greatest night is the biggest live event of the year. You can watch the show that celebrates great television, the Emmy Awards. There's no better night to watch the best of the best face off and see if your favorite shows win. Plus, you can see what everyone's wearing on the red carpet, who looks as hot in real life as they do on their TV shows. So be there with one of the funniest men on television, Jimmy Kimmel, as he hosts the Emmys live this Sunday, September 18th, 7 Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on ABC. And stick with us here at AfterBuzz TV, where we will cover the Emmy Awards. I've been asked to host, but I have prior engagements, but I happen to see all the other people on that email. Y'all are going to have a great panel for the Emmy Awards here. And that leaves us open to talk mainly about the case, then we'll talk Darby, then we'll do predictions.
Yeah, the case.
So,
wow.
Rachel, loving the Rachel of it all. I love that Mike is supporting Rachel, because let's be
Rach.
Real, like, what else has he got going on?
Exactly.
He's just out of prison.
Exactly.
He's just out of prison. He hasn't taken a job yet.
Can I say real quick, something that made me laugh is... I always love, like, the moments before of scenes, and, like, one of the moment befores that made me chuckle out loud was Harvey goes, Mike's walking out, and he goes, there's somebody who couldn't wait to see you. And she gets out of the car and surprises him and all this stuff. And for me, was the moment before that, like, her and Harvey sitting in the car, and she opens the door. He's like, no, 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 wait, what if I go? What if I go? What if I go let him out? And then, like, I'm like, hey, guess what?
Rage is here.
Somebody couldn't wait. Somebody couldn't wait to see you. And, like, when we both look up, you open the... Just don't do...
Wait until we look.
I don't... Well, how am I going to know? Well, all right. Well, I'll gesture. Like... I'll gesture at you.
You're
but
right.
Wouldn't he know if I was... I would... Like, he'd assume I'd be here. Well, don't
if he doesn't see you up
it'll
top.
Be more fun this way.
Oh my God.
I think that would be.
That's so good.
Like, why did it happen like that? I have no idea why it happened like that.
I think they should hire us for two different web series for Suits. I've been pitching on this show for a long time, the Suits Water Cooler.
Seriously.
Where it's just a bunch of people who work at that law firm who have nothing to do with anything. And they're like, why did Donna freak out that one time?
Yeah.
And then the other thing would just be you doing comedy sketches in like crucial moments of the whole show.
I was because that
and like
so
why was she in the back seat? Why was she in the back? Did Harvey drive her there?
Did they have a driver?
Yeah.
Harvey would have a driver, so they were both in the back seat.
And like, I mean, mostly I'm kind of like the wind was all. I mean, it was just a really dramatic scene, but it was beautiful.
And also,
that
like, she
so
got
good.
Out of a door. She didn't like the door that was facing the prison. She got out the other door. Like, I'm not making that up. She literally got out the other door and then walked around the car. Like, it was kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
The more I think about it, I'm all about it.
That's so funny.
Her in the car just going,
when is he going to
go? When is he coming out?
Yeah.
Hey, when do you think he's coming? When do you think
do you
he's going to come out?
Do you see him?
How do I look?
Okay, I still look bomb?
Sorry about that.
I'm sorry. Can you turn off the AC? Actually, put it back on.
Like, yeah.
What are you?
Sorry, Rach.
And then I could picture her talking to the driver too, just like
right.
So.
It's like, why wouldn't they just both be there? I don't know. It was it was just like so such a weird like moment before for me where I was just like, did he just the two of them like cattily just putting anyway? Yeah. So
no, that's very worth it.
Really funny,
Rachel, who has passed all that, is now in the middle of the case that she pretty much we've kind of agreed took to take her mind off the fact that her fiance. Who left her at the altar. We're all forgetting this.
Yeah.
Her fiancé is in prison.
Yeah.
Now her fiancé's out of prison, but that case still exists. Also, her fiancé is a bomb lawyer that just happened to have not gone to law school or taken the bar officially.
Mm-hmm.
So she's in bed with him trying to study for cases when he's Mike Ross.
Yeah.
He can help you.
Yeah. Gosh.
And to get into some of the specifics, we know Maria Gomez is dead, but we find out that the father of the deceased knew she was a junkie prior to that being revealed to anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And we finally figured it out, and I was live tweeting this one, and I posted, retweet if you think the dad did it, and the prosecutor knows. Luckily, none of
that's
you retweeted me, because I was wrong.
Yeah, I thought
the dad
that
didn't
first,
do
second.
It.
Yeah.
Well, that's, again, something that I think is interesting is, like, it goes, you know, more to the point of the show. Like, this isn't Law and Order. It's law, right? And so, like, one of the things that... No, but, like, because you're, like...
You don't follow cops.
You're, like, all their job was just to get them off.
Yeah.
Or, and figure out, like... So, like, I almost... It's funny because I was like, I wonder who did do it, but
that's
I was like, this isn't this show, right?
No, no.
It's like,
I want to know who did it now.
No, I know, but it's
I want to know who
well,
did
but
it.
Let's be real though. Leonard was there with Maria. They were both doing drugs, and they were in a place where everyone was doing drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's left to assume because once again, they didn't give us very many facts of the case beyond he said he didn't do it and he was with somebody.
Right.
So we have to assume. That not to make it about that, but it was a white girl in a bad neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So it's presumable that he was the first person there, but it would have been a bad neighborhood where that would have been commonplace.
Well, all right, so
he was just the first guy on the scene.
Well, I think they left it to where, like, the truth is, we don't know that he didn't do it.
The dad?
No,
Leonard.
What
do you mean?
No, we don't know. We weren't there.
Nobody was there.
No, but that's more to the point of what I'm saying is, like, they didn't prove that he was innocent. they prove that his trial was mishandled and that this guy bribed it. So, like, right. That's part of the suit's allure is, like, nobody proved anybody was innocent.
Yeah.
But that they proved that there was somebody who
mishandled
the thing. So it's like, this guy got out of jail and maybe still could have done it. And I'm not saying that he did. And not saying that he didn't. But I'm saying that there is a...
He did not. Sorry. Continue.
Continue. We're going to close this down right now.
Sorry.
But I'm saying, I actually think that's something super special about suits is that... that it was the law that got him off and not like this like magical like testimony that came up and like this like you know they found this like piece of it.
It was like no did it.
In the prosecution of law it was inappropriately handled and so this guy should not have been in jail for that. There's a it happened earlier this year in Los Angeles. I swear to God, this is this guy's name. He got out after being in jail for 17 years or 27 years. He was like 45 mm-hmm. when he got out. His name was Cash Register. Okay? Swear mm-hmm. to God, his family named him that. DNA evidence after like 27 years or 17 years or something proved that he was not the person at this crime scene. And mm-hmm. he was charged with murder, bank robbery, all this stuff.
Yeah, the whole thing.
And there was a witness who said, no, he didn't do it, all this stuff. And he just recently got out of jail. And so the court of Los Angeles, I think, gave him like, it was like some, I don't know the number. Yeah. I'm going to say like $5
million. A decent amount of
right,
money.
Right, for wrongful imprisonment or whatever. And
for that long.
And that's a settlement, too.
And that was a settlement.
Because he could sue.
Right.
Straight up,
absolutely.
Like, wrongful prosecution, wrongful imprisonment. Like.
And I you know, I remember the first time I turned the page to that, I was looking at it, and it was just like, man, at a certain point, you're just like, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like,
yeah.
Nobody... This is
nobody
it.
Nobody cares. What
nobody cares. Nobody
yeah.
gives.
Nobody cares.
That,
and that's what.
That's what we like about this project that they're doing. That's a real thing.
Oh yeah,
the Innocence Project's a real thing. I've made a joke in your absence that because last time we were here, we talked about how you needed to make Snapchats or Instagram videos for Innocence Project things, so more lawyers will want to do them, and more people will call out lawyers to want to do them. For the past 3 weeks you've been gone, I've been telling people that's what you're doing. So just be cool.
Got it.
Be cool. That's what you're doing.
Got it.
To bring it back to the case,
yeah.
How did we feel about this ending? Because I've been rather outspoken that I thought Leonard Bailey was going to die.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to... They were not going to succeed, and they were going to have to deal with failure. That's how I am as a writer. I'm a very depressed writer. Like, I'm a very depressing writer in that sense.
Yeah.
Not what happened. He got off. And there's another web series I'd like to shoot, which is just you watching Suits. Like, a picture of you, of Stacey watching Suits, because she was having a bit of a meltdown, happily, because Leonard Bailey got out.
Well, go ahead, please.
I truly am glad my lashes stayed on, because I... was so emotional. I really needed that ending. I don't think I could have handled the thing. I'm so glad. I have to watch back from the last couple of weeks and just make sure I have been saying that he would be okay, because I think there was 1 week y'all almost got me, you know, because your theory didn't make sense. I mean, I didn't know where Suits was going. I had no idea what they were trying to, you know, what was the lesson at the end of this. And I just really needed what happened with Leonard. And even like going back to, you know, the dad and just all the different intricate details that got us to this point. I love that how you broke it down, that it really was the law. That is such a special aspect of the show, mm-hmm. just kind of the way it's written and the way it's told and how important at the end of the day it's all about law. It's all about the cases. Right. Mm-hmm. That's the cool part. And I think there was a couple seasons or maybe a couple episodes back in the day where we'd be like, wow, this is all about just relationships. Where's the cases? And, you know, and this
oh, no,
is
this,
just...
this season was rare in the sense they went to court a lot.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised if they never went to court for like 2 or 3 seasons. Don't quote me on that.
But I
they
wouldn't because
rarely
there's
go
so
to
much,
court
because
lawyers don't typically go to court.
Right, and that's the
fun part.
Right.
Well, and then I also feel like this show does a lot of things too where it'll be like, they'll walk in from the elevator and you'll be like, what happened? Oh, nothing. He folded. He folded when we went and did the thing that we, what'd you do? Yeah, I found out that he was a big Michael Jordan fan, and I just gave him tickets to the Bulls, and he folded. So now we're good. You're like, what? I didn't even see that. Like, what the hell are you talking about? So there's a lot of scenes like that. Yeah. But I think I actually would have been disheartened if they were like, yeah, this private investigator found out who really did kill him, and then they bring that person in, and, yeah, and it just that's just a
night.
Different
this
show.
Isn't the night
yeah.
of. This is
yeah, yeah, yeah. This is just a different show.
Yeah.
Do we have anything else to say about the case before we? Before we go on to Darvey, reckless abandonment when it comes to predictions.
I'll just say that the dad was very, wow. Just like, wow. You know, like that,
he played an emotion none of us can possibly understand.
No, I understand.
Which is like the yeah. true loss
right.
everything.
Yeah.
And the hard truth we can tell him because we've never been through it, which is no one's going to unkill your daughter.
No, I wouldn't even say that. I was just, I think I'm just sad that for him to feel justice, and that's the thing, I don't really, I'm pretty sure I don't really believe in the death penalty. I don't think that's a...
Me either.
I don't understand why that would make somebody have closure personally. I think it's a strange thing. But I just think it was such an interesting topic to bring up and kind of have weaved into this part of the season, because even at the last moment when he's admitting what he did, he's like, I did it because he did it. You have no idea, though. You truly had no idea. And even what you were saying, like, she was just a white girl in a bad neighborhood, it's like, it don't matter what neighborhood she was in. It doesn't matter what... Like,
I'm trying to explain what else could happen.
In
his mind, there was a level of subtle racism there, too, that it's just like, no, she was in a bad neighborhood. She found one of those dudes in that bad neighborhood. It was him.
And I just... That made me so sad because, again, another real topic. Very real topic. And just... That was so emotional to watch, because as much as I want to be a part of the dad's like moment where you're like, of course, like you're losing your daughter or you lost your daughter, you want to say like, let's actually get justice. Bottom line. I don't know.
So,
great. Thank you for exonerating him.
We've got 6 minutes. Let's roll Darvey straight up into predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right. Let's talk about Darvey first. Do we think that was two friends holding hands in their time of need, or do we think they're a thing now?
You go. I don't know.
Only because everything else in this episode was a bit of a shit. Or two other main characters in this episode got straight up shipped in this episode.
Right.
Leading into this scene where we kind of have to dissect what we think that was.
Well... what do you think, Steve? You always ask us the question. You always go last.
I always go last. I will say I think it's two people who are in love sharing a moment with each other. That does not necessarily mean
they're together.
It's Team Darvey. It's forever they're going to buy rings.
Yeah.
I think their relation... That's just a continuation of their relationship, that they're two people who love each other and care about each other, and that's how they were dealing with... losing Jessica and going through everything they've gone through in the last 10 weeks for us, however long it was for them. That's what I think it was. It was a moment of quiet reflection with each other. What did you guys think?
I think... All right, I'm going to just say this outspoken. Is like, I know so many, you know, shows and like indie films and like all
like
these
him.
Things
so.
Start coming out, and they'll be like, nah man, let's end it for real, where there's like, this couldn't really be a relationship, because then if it was, then it wouldn't be a friendship, and really that's what's at the core of it. And I'm gonna say, I wanna throw that out the window and just like, if this doesn't end with the two of them together, I'm gonna be pissed.
No, the series will end with the two of them together.
I know this episode ended. Yeah, I mean, just everything that they do is just is perpetually getting me to the point of them being together.
Like, yeah, I love that. I weirdly agree with Steve, and only because for the most part, I think sometimes I want to lean more on your side, but I think that, you know, they've showed us this before. They've literally been in each other's apartment and they've said words that I was like, they're together, and they weren't together.
And then so, Mitch?
Who? Oh, her ex-boyfriend? Quick second. We never got to meet and didn't even know if he was a deserving boyfriend. You're right.
It was me. I read for it.
Hilarious.
They cast me. Never happened.
See, it's like, So I think it was such a beautiful moment. And I know it's weird, but I was like looking how they're holding hands and it was like palm instead of like clutch. So I was like, maybe it's just friendship still.
That's not, like, listen, I actually have a weird thing. I don't like my webs interlocking.
So really?
Once it's in there, it sends chills on my spine. Somebody made me aware of it younger. And like, I was playing around with a friend of mine and he was like, I grabbed his hand and we interlocked and he grabbed my and he pushed me. He was like, y'all don't even let my girl interlock with me, man. It's just weird. I don't like fingers in my webs. And after he said that, that could be love in some places, is what I'm saying. Like, this could be love.
Mike, do we think Mike is going to take that job? And I'll answer first. I think Mike will take that job, but was not going to had Jessica stayed.
Oh, that's a great point. Damn.
That he would have otherwise been like, no, I kind of want to strike out on my own, but I need to support Harvey. Harvey went through hell and back
for me
to be standing here. I owe it to him to come in and help him now.
He probably is going to take it now that you said that. Wow. Freaking Mike and Harvey. They had the weirdest relationship.
Yeah, I think he takes it because of, well, also just because, like I said, he's been away, and I think there has to be that, and the idea that, like, who's going to balance the Lewis and Harvey relationship. And I also think that he's done it. We've lost this. He's grown from like this little brother sidekick thing into being his own person and all this stuff. And I really feel like, I think he's going to step into this new job being like, all right, if I'm a consultant. And I think he's going to start to be like, well, I'm going to go consult for another firm. Like, he's going to be like, I'm going to take on other firms. And, like, I think he's going to consult for Robert Zane. Yeah. I think he's going to consult for... So I think it's going to turn into this, like,
and I also think
his own business.
And I also think he's going to pluck underdog cases specifically and then take them to whatever firm will have him, which might be Spectre-lit. It might not be.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any predictions at large before we head into the long, deep fall and come out of the end of the winter to actually join this show again?
We'll see you in the winter, folks. I don't know. I'm just going to say that I'm hoping at the end of this season, Rachel and Mike finally get married. That's what I'm going to say.
That was what I was going to say. I think they postpone.
You think they just keep postponing? Don't do it?
I think we're going to have to come to some adverse...
I'll make one that we can end on. I think they'll elope. Because he can never face those people.
What people?
All the people who showed up for a wedding that he walked out on.
There wasn't all those people. There was just the family, I thought.
No, that was a whole church full of people. They put that wedding... Like, granted, it was a quick wedding, but, like, there was a whole church full of people that he now has to eventually face and at the reception explain.
I went to prison.
But you had time... Oh, so they took you away to prison early? No, I had time. I just thought she should be single while I'm in prison. And then you got out of prison real early. Yeah, that was... I didn't think that through. I didn't... That's another sketch we should write.
That's
just
hilarious.
Mike at his wedding reception explaining.
No, I'm telling you the moments like right after and before are just great for this show.
So, I think that just about wraps us up here at AfterBuzz TV for Suits Season 6, Episode 10, the summer finale of Suits. Stacey Eich, in the meantime, where can the people find you?
Congratulations to everybody on this show. Aaron and the rest of the cast. Rick Hoffman, thank you so much for always supporting us. And Sarah, and you guys are seriously, like, amazing. Congratulations. Can't wait to be back. You guys can check me out on Twitter and Instagram at One Take Stay. See you on the interwebs.
And Bill Posley, other than on Logo TV's Gay Skit Happens, where else can the people find you?
Again, I'm literally just typing the name Bill Posley. There's only one of me. and it's everything that I don't, that's it. I need a website.
And he's being modest. If you're in the Los Angeles area and you want to learn how to do cool video sketches like the two he pitched tonight.
Nice.
He teaches a class at Iowa West. So
what's yours called?
Go to iowest.com, I believe, is not,
yes.
It's still their website. You'll be able to find them there. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Kaufman. That is KaufMann. I do a lot of shows here at AfterBuzz TV. I tweet about them very regularly, including Gotham, which comes back this Monday, the 19th, the night after the Emmys. Thank you, guys, and good night.
Bye. See you soon.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.